You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You've seen them, that pudgy pup waddling down the street. They look cute, with a swaying of their thunder thighs and their paunchy gut almost touching the ground. And those internet photos of the 30-pound cat, who wouldn't go, "Ah, what a honey of a chunky monkey." Deep down you say to yourself, "My pet isn't that fat, it just has big bones. My cat must have Maine Coon in it, that's why it's so chubby, it really doesn't eat that much." But did you know that one extra pound on a Chihuahua is the same as a 125-pound woman gaining 30 pounds? Though my guest today is a stand-up comic and internationally recognized veterinarian of Animal Planet's Emergency Vets, Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, obesity in our cats and dogs is no laughing matter. We'll talk about how to recognize if your pet is fat and not fluffy. What are the dangers associated with being overweight? How to put your pet safely on a diet? What are calorie-wise treats for your pets? And calculating how much to feed the furry member of your family. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Fitzgerald, thank you so much for being with us. You are a busy man.
Well, thank you so much for all you do, and thanks for having me on.
Well, I think this should be fun, because you are a stand-up comic. So I have to ask, what do you enjoy more, being that veterinarian with the stress of all these emergencies coming in, or the stress of being the stand-up comedian?
Well, it's so rewarding, and working with the people and, of course, working with the animals, what a blessing and what a privilege. You know, it's not our right to do it. It's our privilege to work with these animals and these people. It is stressful sometimes. We can't always help them, but we can always fix them, but we can certainly help them. And With stand-up, it's certainly stressful, but nobody's dying except me. There's no, you know, I haven't done comedy in 6 days, and audiences have been delighted.
Well, I can imagine you make your office calls sometimes kind of on the fun side.
Well, it's stressful to the people and stressful to the animals. So I think every day I get up, I say, today nobody's going to be scared on my shift. And so we can put people at ease, and we can try and help. You know, I realize that the fate of the Western world doesn't hang in the balance with what I do as a veterinarian, but veterinarians make their little side of the street better, and we're part of the fabric of the communities that we live in.
Great philosophy. I like that. I'll try and use it every day when I get up and I go to my practice, too. Well, something that is scary is that the statistics of how many obese cats and dogs there are now in the United States, it seems to be rivaling the obesity problem that we're finding in people. Do animals and pets get some of the same diseases associated with obesity?
Well, that's right. Obesity is not just cosmetics. It's not just an appearance problem. There are real medical problems that stem directly from being overweight. Arthritis and degenerative joint disease and the extra added forces that on our joints from carrying extra weight. Heart disease and high blood pressure, hypertension, cardiovascular problems, diabetes, lactose intolerance and respiratory problems, skin and dermatological conditions because of excessive skin folds, and it goes on and on, and so it's very real. And, you know, we giggle about the overweight dog and the pudgy cat, but these are real health issues, and I make jokes about a lot of things, but not about weight and weight control.
I think what a lot of people, Dr. Fitzgerald, don't realize that malnutrition, typically I think somebody would think of a person or a pet that is experiencing malnutrition to be really skinny. You see these poor refugees and, you know, pictures of, even here in the United States, you know, really, really skinny people and going, oh, that's malnutrition. But obesity is a form of malnutrition. Isn't that correct?
That's exactly right, Dr. Cruz. With obesity, what we see often is poor choices in the types of food that are fed that are not nutritionally complete. So even though they're getting calorically too many calories, it's not the right kind of food and the right type of nutrients. Not enough fiber, not enough of different protein and things that help rebuild muscle. And so we see too much fat, too much high energy types of really empty calories is a good way to put it. And so I think the problem is one of recognition that people deny their own obesity. They look at their own self-image and they see other fat people and they're hypercritical, but they deny their own overweight status. And certainly that's true with our animals. And that's why the AVMA has been so keen about picking up on this and focusing on weight as an issue. So the American Veterinary Medical Association and Hill's Pet Nutrition have teamed up for this Alliance for Healthier Pet, bring about a little bit more awareness of what being overweight can do.
How would you define obesity? You know, sometimes you're just a little chubby. You put on those jeans going, that washer dryer, it shrunk them again. It can't be me. What is the true definition of obesity?
We've got to burn off more than we put in the cooker as far as energy. So when we see excess calories taken in and less exercise, we end up with excessive calories leading to fat being put down. And so obesity is in dogs, when we're 20% over the ideal weight. And so as we see people in the United States, my New England Journal of Medicine recently said that 25% of sixth graders are clinically obese, or at least 25% over their ideal weight. 25%. And they said that 40% of kids were over their ideal weight in sixth grade. So the problem is one of I think prevention. It's so much easier to try and prevent something, a little bit of foresight, than dealing with the problem after the fact.
I know that too many calories in will cause a pet to be overweight, and it's horrible to think of these young children You know, here they're just babies, and you think they're out on the playground running around having a good time, and then you think, oh yeah, staying indoors and playing with their computer games definitely hasn't helped. And yes, seeing some of the various things that people are putting into children's lunches these days, my own grandchildren thankfully are not overweight, but nutrition is not high on their list. Are there other causes that your pet may be obese other than just eating too much?
Exactly right. The wrong types of food, I think, that we talked about before, table scraps. You know, they love table scraps, but are they nutritionally complete? Are they formulated and fortified with the right nutrients? No. And so we see types of food. Also, the way that animals are fed, I think, can lead to a lot of issues. Free choice feeding in these animals. With time-lapse photography at the University of Pennsylvania, they found that these dogs are going back to a dish several times during the day to check it out to see if there's food in it. And cats, too, going back multiple times. Dogs are gorgeous, make no mistake. And so in nature, they might not always come across a meal every day. So they might not eat every day. So when they do, they gorge. So dogs will eat tremendous amounts in a short period. Cats will stash food and then go back and nibble. So they'll come back multiple times. But because of the dog's nature, because of this evolutionary history, we'll see them gorge, and that's a problem. We used to laugh when I was in vet school and say there aren't any fat wolves. But if you had to chase down everything that you ate, you'd be nice and lean too. So I think we can do a lot by smaller meals, you know, multiple small meals rather than big gut bombs where we just put out so much. And in measuring the food is so important, just to measure the food. I was horrified to be at my brother's house, and I said, well, how much you had given him? His dog was this nice little doxy, Heidi. And so I was like, how much are you giving her? He goes, well, I measured, and it was a beer stein. You know, a beer stein is not a cup, you know. And so he's giving the dog a beer stein full of food, and I said, come on, you know. So I think, you know, Lucretius said we dig our graves with our teeth, the Roman writer, and so how true, how true. And you know, why not do some things to increase the quality of their life? Why not use exercise as a treat? Why not, you know, measure the amount of treats we give? That's another whole issue that we should talk about is how many treats and what types of treats. My mother, you know, horrified with what she does with her old cocker. And, well, I only give him a couple of these. And a couple is, you know, maybe 15, 18 a day. So maybe we could break those treats we give into quarters, you know, or into thirds. So we're given just as many, but only a third as much each time. Maybe we could give ice cubes as a treat or carrots. What about green beans or maybe bits of apple? What about using exercise as a reward and to try and increase the quality of life through different ways? I think exercise as a reward is something that's very overlooked. And I think clients, you know, our clients and people that love animals must develop non-food-related bonding activities and rewards for their animals, activities like walks and play. Games, fetch, obstacle courses, not letting them just be couch potatoes and cliff dwellers that live in a high-rise apartment.
But Dr. Fitzgerald, people aren't doing that, and that's the hardest part. They're going, okay, I had a long day at work. I'm tired. I should go to the gym. I should go for a walk. It's like, just give me that beer stein filled with beer. And for the dog, they think, oh, it's just a little cookie. But I was reading something that I thought was very interesting, that for about a 20-pound dog, sounds like Heidi, maybe hopefully Heidi wasn't that big being a little doxy, that one small oatmeal cookie would be the same as eating one hamburger or an entire chocolate bar. So it didn't seem like that much because it was just a cookie. But sometimes when you think of that relative amount, it can make such a difference.
You just said a mouthful.
That mouthful of cookie, yes.
Well, no, I mean, how true. I mean, the whole problem is compliance. These animals are totally dependent on what the people feed. And so this is one time we can really do something. We can measure the amount of food, and we can totally control at the source how much food they're getting. It's just, they're totally dependent on us. They're not ordering pizzas over the telephone. They're not ordering out to, you know, for a Chinese drop, you know, takeout, you know. And so what we're seeing is, as Americans become obese, as Americans are having this crisis in health issues related to weight, it's very tough as veterinarians to go in and with a 350-pound man tell him that his dog is overweight. And you have to be gentle. You have to be. But maybe, I don't know, I've had friends in the health industry, physicians, who say it's time to take the gloves off and to deal with this and say, guess what, you're overweight and so is your dog, and I can help both of you. And is that being mean? Is it being cruel? No, nobody wants to hear it. And, you know, I can't watch the TV show on Animal Planet because I go, that's not my neck, that's my dad's neck. I try and do my things and skip rope and you know, try and get into the gym, you know, a few times a week and try to, you know, it's difficult here with people bringing things, but with these animals, they're totally dependent on us for good decisions. They depend on you, every aspect of their health. And so exercise is so important, and there's so many things we can do. In fact, there's a website, petfit.com, has tons of good exercise hints and tips and suggestions for different games for dogs and cats. And there's so many things we can do. And by spending time with them, it increases their quality of life. Make no mistake, being overweight, it not only reduces their quality of life, but it reduces their lifespan. They don't live as long. In sibling studies done, that were dogs from the time of birth until 10 years old, they were fed, one dog was fed 25% more with every meal. And the dogs that were fed more needed medication for arthritis at an earlier age, developed heart disease and problems in more frequently and at earlier ages, and also had dermatological conditions and diabetes in a significantly, statistically significant percentage of the time. So it not only takes off the quality of our lives by being overweight with exercise intolerance and being out of breath, respiratory problems, but it also decreases our lifespan. So we don't live as long, and so let's live as long as we can, and let's live quality lives. My goal is to live forever, and so far so good. I'm 57.
That's very good, and I think it is important for people to realize that obesity is truly a disease. It is not something that can be cured, but we can control it. So that's important. So right now, I'm going to control this conversation. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. And Dr. Fitzgerald will talk about, how do you actually measure the food? How much do you feed? Because when you look at a label of a pet food container, it seems like they're feeding a whole heck of a lot more than we are. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's fine.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on? Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us. From speed drawing and mushing to racing, agility, and competition. This is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams. Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Fitzgerald, thank you so much for being with us today. This is really very interesting, and I know it's a problem that too many people, too many pets have. I believe there's about 32 million pets. About 43% of U.S. dogs are estimated to be overweight or obese. I'm not sure what the numbers are, and you're right. It's a difficult thing to broach with our clients.
Well, that's right. That's right. But it's an important thing. If we're going to be stewards of animal health, this is a very important issue and becoming more and more so. I think also the role of neutering and spaying and then, you know, weight control after that. But I think with people with their own animal, it would be an easy thing to teach our clients about a body conditioning score, you know, a system where they could see if the animal's overweight. It came out of a system that came through different judging of different breeds in the show ring and putting their hand on the rib cage and being able to feel the ribs or not see them, running your hand along the stomach and seeing if it was sagging or if it was nice and tightly tucked, looking from the top of the dog down at the, and is there a noticeable waist or does right down the ribs, does the stomach come out from the sides?
Looking, I think that's great, because a lot of people will say, well, it's just fluffy. You know, when it takes a bath, oh, it is really skinny. So this is good.
No, that's right. That's right. And then the base of the tail, being able to feel the points of the hips and the bones of the hips and the bones of the spine, or is there enough of a pad? So, no, that's right. So many times people say, well, he's just fluffy. And then when they, you know, it's more than that. It's much more than that. And so I think that the clients have to develop a critical eye, and we have to teach people. We can gripe about things or we can educate, and I think we have to be reasonable about weight control. I think it has to be like you said, and said it so well, a long-term thing. This is a long race. Weight control is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and we need to be proactive, and we need to do a little bit every day. It's not something that we can just think about once a month and try for, you know, 1 or 2 days to be good. We have to consistently be stewards of their health and of how much they're eating.
And proactive is so important, because too many times you're talking about having the obese children right now, and we know that when they're overweight as children or puppies or kittens, they're much more likely to have weight issues when they get older, because once that fat cell is formed, the only way you're going to get rid of it is liposuction. You may shrink it down, but otherwise it's still there. Something I found that was really fascinating and very sad was, you know, I say probably the easiest way to look slim yourself is to have really fat friends. when they've done some studies looking at breed standards for dogs. The standard, for instance, for a Labrador is supposed to be between 55 to 80 pounds. Right now, most Labradors are coming in about 80 pounds. That little Chihuahua is supposed to be between 2 and 6 pounds. The average Chihuahua right now is 7.7. Beagles, between 26 and 31 pounds is the standard. The average beagle now is almost 36 pounds. So it doesn't seem a lot, but it just keeps creeping up. And you had mentioned neutering. When I was in veterinary school, I swear, unless I was asleep that day, that they said neutering didn't really affect a tremendous amount weight gain after they got spayed. But it seems like they have some different ideas. Could you expound on that a little bit?
Well, that's right. I think that another problem for another time would be the amount of unwanted puppies and kittens in this country, and that we know that 3,000 kittens are born every hour in the United States. And so the role of neutering, it becomes so important. The role of neutering in terms of weight control is and neutering and spaying is tough because these animals, without those hormones, are more likely to be couch potatoes and be sedentary. So as a result of that, we have to make concessions to neutering and these animals and then picking up other areas in their lifestyle to keep muscle mass up and to control their weight. We have to ensure that there always is exercise and game playing. And we've taken animals that are hunter stalkers and made them couch potatoes. My cat just follows the sun across the living room floor. My dog doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning. He doesn't want to get up, and I have to make him sometimes. But how much more quality and enjoyment of the bond we have with them can we do by our conjoined destinies? How much more we can enjoy that by spending quality time and exercise is quality time. You know, 2 20-minute walks a day. We have to earmark some time for these animals. If we're going to take them and make them part of our families, we have to make sure that our lifestyle has time for them, because the only exercise they get, we dictate and dictate the times. And you know, I tell people, imagine it's being like being in a lockup, a maximum security prison, a solitary confinement. If you only got 20 minutes a day of exercise, you know, that's dreadful. That's dreadful. And so you would think that was dreadful in a person, but we do that with our animals. You know, if we're too busy for them, and so being too busy, that's a form of abuse in a way. And so let's make sure that our lifestyle includes them. You know, take them with you. You know, they love to go. I mean, you're their best toy. You know, you're their best friend. And so we have to be kind friends and conscientious friends and proactive friends.
And sometimes it's difficult with a cat, because I have 3 cats right now, and yes, I feel guilty because, you know, I get up and go to work, and by the time I come back, it's like, oh, hi, guys. Mom does not have the energy for you. So one of the things
What about a laser? You know, laser light. You know,
I have a laser light.
What about a... Yeah, our little feather duster, you know.
That works good. And the other thing that works is I got a kitten. And the kitten is bugging the heck out of the 2 older ones, so they're running around a lot more. So I just had to figure out how to...
Terrorist.
Exactly. There's also a toy that I found. Here's a commercial plug. I have no association with this company, called an undercover mouse. And I found it at one of my local large pet stores. And it is a battery-operated device where this little wand, supposed to look like a little mouse, I guess, goes zipping back and forth at different speeds and different directions, just round and round in a circle. And it just drives all my cats crazy. They love it. So I put it out for a couple of days and then hide it and then bring it back out again so they don't get too tired of it. Before the break, you were talking about feeding pets, and I had mentioned, boy, you look at the label and the label says you're supposed to feed so much. How do you figure out, Dr. Fitzgerald, how much to feed your pet? And is there a best pet food to feed them so they don't get fat?
You're a veterinarian. Your listeners, veterinarians, are as far away as the telephone. And I think that there's no one best food for an animal. I think we have to think about the breed and the time of year. We have to think about the health issues that animal may have, tendencies toward heart disease or kidney disease. Does the dog already have arthritis? So your veterinarian can help you. I think reading cat food and dog food bags is a mistake. We have to make sure that we don't overfeed and based on our dog's requirements. You know, how old is the dog? What time of life is it? There are changes, you know, as the dog ages. We don't need as much food. I'm 57. I read at a 58-year-old level, but I'm getting older, and so I don't need as
You're
much
advanced.
As a 20-year-old, you know, kid that's still growing. And so growth and time of the life cycle make a tremendous difference. And what a good friend you have in your veterinarian. And they can make, I think, great suggestions about the type of food and how much. But one thing I will tell you is that by measuring and by ensuring the type of food that we give is so important. And okaying it with your veterinarian. I think many types of food can be too palatable, you know, and too much, you know, treats shouldn't be more than 10% of the total daily caloric intake. And so we got to make sure that and count the number of treats and make sure that it's not more than 10%. And we haven't loaded them up. It's like eating Oreos, you know, we're not going to feed them too many biscuits and too many of the things we give. So we have to be careful with the types of food that we give. It's very important. Using a measuring cup is such an easy way and such a great way to ensure we're giving the right amount.
I love it when you're saying measuring and definitely not using one of those big, huge cups that you get from the drive-by places.
We're not using a beer stein. We're not using, you know, our fraternity loving cup, you know. So we need to be proactive. We need to be reasonable. And I think we need to be vigilant. And this is a long race, and we need to sit with our veterinarian and make some real decisions. And I think we have to look at the week on a daily basis, and how much time do we have? How much are we spending with them? How many treats are we actually giving? And what about other treats? You know, I think keeping the dog out of the kitchen when food is being prepared or cooked, you know, they've got those big eyes and they're mournful, and it's tough to not give them a, you know, one for me, one for you, you know. So I think we have to be very, very vigilant, and I think there's some things we can do that can help ourselves not fall into traps.
I tell my clients, you know, because you have that cat or dog, usually the dog that's sitting under the table and looking at you with those little mournful eyes going, oh, please, I just need one small little treat. And those little treats add up after a while. I said, okay, if you don't have the wherewithal and the self-control not to feed your pet, somebody's going to have to sit in the bathroom at mealtime. It's either you or the pet, so figure it out. You know, separate them. If you have cats and dogs, if your cat, put the cat food up someplace so the dog doesn't get into it. And cats don't have to have food available 24/7. Get rid of the treats. Give them away to friends. Take them to your local shelter. Do whatever. Have them out of the house, because a small milk bone has about 20 calories. A large one has about 115. So
isn't
you may
amazing?
Yeah, you're just giving all of these extra calories. And sometimes I say the easiest thing to do, and I totally agree with you, there is no one perfect food. Whatever you're feeding right now, cut it back by a third. And if you have grandma at home who's there all day and she just can't control herself, say, okay, grandma, here is a little Ziploc bag or a little Tupperware container, whatever. This is the entire day's worth of food that this little pup or cat's going to get.
Yep, we need to do a change in lifestyle. That's exactly right. You know, and I think the life stage of the dog, a pregnant dog is going to need more. Is she nursing? Or is it just an old age with, you know, an old age maintenance diet? It's going to be different than a puppy diet. Also, the activity level, the dog's young and active and not arthritic. We got an old guy that can't exercise very much. The problem that you and I both see with older animals is they physically can't go the distances that they did. And so now we have to do it at the other end by cutting down the intake to keep the weight down. Otherwise, if they eat the same amount they did when they were active, we're just going to end up laying down fat. So, you know, so much of this is, a change in lifestyle that we really have to see. We have to be aggressive and it has to be a commitment on the people. You know, if we really want to have these animals and take them and make them part of our families, they deserve good decisions on our part.
And we are their caretakers, and I do like that idea of telling people that it's like being in a high maximum jail. Your pets, the jail is the home that we lovingly give them to protect them, to keep them healthy. But if we don't get them out and give them their exercise, yes, that's cruel and unusual punishment for them. Walking, for instance, increases that basic metabolic rate by about 2 times. If you can get that dog out there chasing a ball, if it's not hurting their hips, you know, if it's young enough, it can handle it, that increases it by about 3 times. And a swimming pool, here's a great reason to get a swimming pool, because that increases that metabolic rate by about 6 times, and it's not hard on the joints.
Yeah, it's so forgiving on the joints. So swimming is a wonderful exercise, even for the old arthritic dog. And so I think that, boy, that's wonderful. And I think we need to, you know, think of different things. Can we make an obstacle course? Can we get 20 minutes twice a day? Can we get the laser pointer? Can we, or the feather duster? Can we do, you know, some different things to with different games of fetch or frisbee to get the dog more active? And so it's quality time. They'd love to spend time with you. Let's get out there and do it. It's good for us.
It's good. Definitely good for us.
It's good mental health therapy, I think.
And diet is so important. Exercise is important. But there are some dogs, like some people, their metabolism is just set at a certain level, and having to cut back is like, oh, I can't do this. There's thankfully now medication that is available only through your veterinarian that can help you help your pet lose weight. So if you have questions about what to do to get your pet to lose weight, best thing to do, as Dr. Fitzgerald has mentioned so many times today, is talk to your veterinarian. Make sure that your pet can go on that diet. Your veterinarian can help figure out what's a good food, what's good exercise, keeping track of that weight loss, because we want it to be slow, steady, and that's the best way to maintain it. Dr. Fitzgerald, thank you so much for being with us today. You've given us some great information.
Oh, thank you for all you do for animals and everything you've done. It was great coming here. There is the website, you know, the petfit.com, and I would just like to thank the American Veterinary Medical Association and yourself and Hill's Pet Nutrition for all they do for the, you know, the awareness they're trying to do with obesity and you know, the Alliance for Healthier Pets, because this is something that, you know, this is a long race, and it's something we're going to have to pay attention to.
They really have become part of the family, so we want to keep all family members healthy, happy, and living a long time. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Bernadine Cruz on The Pet Doctor with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald today. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in again next week, where we'll have more information to keep you being the best pet owner you can be. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.